I'm Cindy Jennings, editor at Patient Care Online. As part of our clinical focus this month on migraine, we're talking today with Dr. Peter McAllister about migraine prevention and specifically about the role that the newly approved oral migraine preventive medications may play in treatment of migraine in primary care settings. Dr. McAllister is the medical director of the New England Institute for Neurology and Headache and chief medical officer of the New England Institute for Clinical Research, both located in Stamford, Connecticut. Welcome, Dr. McAllister.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So first, we'll start with in 2021, the FDA approved the first migraine-specific oral preventive treatments, both in the gepant class. What is unique about this class, and why has it been a critical breakthrough in migraine management?
So the gepants block a critical bad guy in the migraine cascade that has the initials CGRP. A few years before that, we came out with monthly shots that blocked the CGRP, and many patients adopted those, and that was fine. But those shots last in your body for 5 months, even when you stop them. So some patients felt that was a problem. Some patients don't like shots or needles. So these, what we call small molecules, i.e. pills, these gepants, when they were launched, they gave us basically everything that the shot had, absent the shot, with potentially some other good effects. So there are the two gepants, rimegepant and atogepant, both great medicines. I was involved as principal investigator on both of those trials. The wonderful thing about them is they've got a high degree of efficacy, i.e. they work in a lot of people, but they've got a wonderfully minuscule side effect profile. And then lastly, it's just something about this class that we're all excited about. They work very fast. So the migraine preventives in the past would take 6 weeks or more of titrating the dose upward before you even got a sense whether it was working. These new gepants work in a few days or a week, or at most 4 weeks. So patients really like that.
Great. And you mentioned side effects, that there was minimal side effects. What are the side effects, if they are experiencing any? And how is it compared to other migraine or previous migraine preventive medications?
Right. So, you know, just there is no absolutely perfect pill. And when we did the studies, we found that although 90%+ of people in both of those studies had no significant side effects, a small handful, 3%, 5%, 6%, would have a bit of nausea, a bit of constipation, perhaps a very tiny fraction, some somnolence or tiredness. But to put the reverse on that, that means 95% of people didn't have nausea, et cetera. So by and large, the most common side effect to have on either of these two gepants is to not have a side effect. Now, again, go back to the older drugs. The two main classes of old medicines for migraine prevention was topiramate, an anti-seizure drug, and amitriptyline, an old tricyclic antidepressant. I still use them. I mean, they still have a role, a place. But boy, beside being slow, they have a plethora of potential side effects. Amitriptyline alone, if one ever were to look in the old package insert from the 1960s on that drug, it would scare the bejesus out of you. I mean, it's, you know, heart block, you know, constipation to the point of being completely obstipated, sometimes requiring surgery, sedation, pancreatitis, black tongue. I didn't even know that was a thing. Topiramate was nice in that some people lost weight on the drug, and that was its one good thing. But the nickname of topiramate, whose brand name was Topamax, was Dopamax, because it kind of made you cognitively a bit off. It could affect your language, and people would have a word on the tip of their tongue that they couldn't quite reach. Mm-hmm. And that was very annoying. So you contrast those with these two drugs that, of course, no drug works in everybody, but in those in whom these drugs work, they basically have next to no side effects.
So many migraine patients are treated by primary care clinicians and not headache specialists. Are the gepants being incorporated into primary care treatment of migraine? And what are the challenges to doing so, if any?
I think they are. And I think a note to my primary care colleagues would be these drugs could almost be over-the-counter medications. So one shouldn't have any significant trepidation for prescribing them. They are easy, easy drugs. One is once a day. That's atogepant. Rimegepant or Nurtec is every other day. Simple drugs, low side effect profile. I think that getting the word out is incredibly important. There's 41 million persons with migraine disease in the United States. There's about 600 or 800 board certified neurology headache specialists. I wrote an article years ago that if the headache specialists saw all the migraine sufferers in this country, we'd have to see 1,600 patients a day, every day, 365 days a year. The point there is primary care should be on the front lines of migraine management. And I've talked to, you know, larger practices who say, look, we're busy with our diabetes and high blood pressure and everything else. And I say, well, actually, when you get down to it, migraine is more functionally disabling day in, day out than a lot of the common medical conditions you treat. So find one person, one doc in your practice, because a lot of women get migraine, you could say, find a woman who has migraine in your practice who's a doctor and make him or her your migraine specialist. Let them learn a little more about the disease state. And I think that this drug could easily, both of these could easily be primary care drugs.
Which patients should primary care physicians select to receive these drugs, gepants, or perhaps to avoid?
Yeah, so there's really no significant contraindications. Well, you know, the devil's always in the details. There's wee tiny ones. Those who are on very strong drugs that go through the liver system called the CYP3A4. It's a particular enzyme subtype. You know, that could theoretically increase the concentration of these drugs. In my mind, that still wouldn't do much of anything, but that is one of the contraindications. And those would be persons on HIV drugs, on toenail fungus drugs like itraconazole, and one antibiotic, clarithromycin. Most of the drugs we use in primary care and neurology are mild or moderate CYP3A4 inhibitors, and they're fine. So beside that small group, anyone who comes in, now because of our strange and interesting healthcare insurance system, most of the patients who are going to go on these drugs to get the coverage likely will have to have failed one or two of the old ones. My personal bias is these drugs should be used de novo because they're so safe, well tolerated, and efficacious, but the insurance companies think a little differently. So someone who may have been on amitriptyline, it didn't work, a beta blocker and had side effects, it's the perfect person to transition to one of these two agents.
Do the oral preventives have advantages over the injectable CGRP inhibitors?
Well, only that a needle doesn't pierce the skin when you swallow a pill. You know, it really comes down to patient preference. The nice thing about the shots, let's say they each take, you know, 6 seconds to go in you when you press the little clicker. That's what, a minute and a half a year that you're doing something for your migraine disease? A lot of people are really impressed by that. That means every other day of the month, you're not taking something for your migraine. Those ones, you know, if for both of these, I would say another group that I'd be very careful in is those who are pregnant or actively planning to conceive. Now, it may well be that if you interview me in 5 or 7 years and we've collected all the pregnancy data, I can say to you, hey, these drugs are wonderfully safe in pregnancy. We can't say that yet. So if you have a pill and you stop the pill, it's out of you in 5 days. If you stop one of the monthly shots, it's out of you in 5 months. And that's a problem. So someone who's looking to conceive, I'll put them on the pill. And I say, look, if you, you know, get pregnant, well, fine, we'll just stop the drug. It'll be out of your system in 5 days. So that is one advantage. It's probably, other than the needle, it's probably the only advantage. I think that there have been no direct head-to-head studies, but my take is that both the monthly CGRP blocking shots and the small molecule CGRP blocking pills are both highly efficacious.
Do you think that adherence may be an issue with the daily or even every other day dosing?
Yeah, it can, you know, people like novel stuff, but then novel stuff tends to say, you know, to overwhelm them a bit sometimes. The old school would be atogepant. Atogepant is a once a day pill, just like we're used to. That's your high blood pressure pill, your cholesterol pill. The Nurtec or rimegepant, that's a little novel in that they went after an every other day. And they also are big proponents of the idea of jumping on and jumping off of their particular preventive. It's kind of a unique thing. The idea with rimegepant is almost like if one has ulcer or gastritis, you go on a proton pump inhibitor, such as, you know, Nexium or something. And when the stomach acid clears, you feel better, you stop it. That's kind of what rimegepant's model is. Again, atogepant is much more old school. When the shots came out, people were like, oh, this is great. Once a month shot. There's even one you do quarterly. So it's once every 3 months. But when the pills came out, they said, oh, that's great. I don't have to do a shot. So, you know, it's really an individual decision. I've had patients happy on all three of them. So I don't have any skin in the game. I kind of discuss them with the patients and then let them help me, you know, make that decision.
And do you find that patients prefer one or the other? Like when these new gepants came out, were a lot of patients really excited because they were, again, like oral medications and they didn't have to do the shot? Do they prefer like, you know, the pills over the shot or?
Yeah, and again, it's just, you know, the fickle nature of us humans. Some people were so excited by the shot, and then I said, you know, there's basically one of those in a pill form, and they said, oh my gosh, really, a pill form? That's great. So, you know, I'm willing to work with my patients, and we try different things, you know, off label, and it's not because it's bad, just because it hasn't been studied. I have a few patients who are on both, who do a monthly shot and then do one of these oral pills because they're blocking even more of their CGRP receptors. And for them, it gives them extra efficacy. The rimegepant, as you know, is the first drug that's blurred the lines between what it means to be preventive and acute, because it was initially approved as an acute treatment. And when we did that study, we found that patients who treated their headaches acutely over the months in the study had less and less headache days per month. And that's what prompted the preventive trial. So, you know, these gepants can be, and then atogepant has a cousin called ubrogepant, which is an acute drug. So, and then vasegepant is one that's coming. So we now have this whole class of gepants that can be both acute and preventive. And that's the first time we've ever had that. And
Wow.
again, that in and of itself is exciting.
Do you think down the line, say in a few years, when more and more patients take these and they become more available and more well known, do you think that maybe they'll replace some of the more, like some of the older medications or like the injectables, and more patients will kind of stop taking the injectables and it'll switch?
I don't know about the injectables. They're very good medicines with very, very low side effects, and I've been a principal investigator on all of them. I've enjoyed prescribing those to patients. I do think that the shots and the gepants will likely replace in time the older standard of care preventive pills, the amitriptylines, the beta blockers, the topiramates, that type of thing. It's just better efficacy, better tolerability, better safety, you know, and we could say, well, the other ones are a lot less expensive. And I've kind of begun to wonder what that really means, because studies have shown that if you're on topiramate, most people are not compliant. That is, most people will stop taking it within 6 months because it either doesn't work or it bothers them. And those patients are at higher risk of utilizing emergency rooms, going to more doctors, taking more acute medications, and calling in sick to work. But what if you had a drug that cost more, that they tolerated and loved and it worked, and they didn't go to emergency rooms, and they didn't have to take lots of breakthrough pills, and they didn't have to go to doctors, and they actually showed up to work? So I'm not sure what it means to have a more expensive, quote unquote, med right now.
Interesting. That's a good point, because then when you have the cheaper ones, you have all these other extra added healthcare costs that perhaps people don't take into account when they think about the cost. So do you have any guidance for primary care physicians regarding the new preventive medications?
Yeah, I think, do a bit of homework on them. They are really, and I don't mean this in any pejorative way. Some of my best friends are primary care docs, and they do a lot more things than I do, I think, but they're so busy with their other stuff. I would say spend a little time educating yourself on migraine. It is the second leading cause of years lived with a medical disability. While it's non-lethal, the profound effect it has on their patients' lives is tremendous. They should be on the front lines. And when we had these sort of dangerous, narrow therapeutic drugs, I think it would make sense for the primary care person to say, oh, go see the specialist. I don't need all that headache. When you have these drugs that are practically, as I said, almost over-the-counter medications, these are not going to require a whole lot of time to know every single side effect and every single drug interaction, et cetera. They're easy. They are good, solid primary care drugs, and they should be embracing them.